Well, amen, amen. I love seeing you enjoy yourselves, greeting one another. And good to see each of you here tonight. God's blessings on you. We welcome those online as well. Tonight will be our seventh teaching concerning spiritual warfare. I've entitled this series Spiritual Warfare 101. And last time we were together, we began looking at the armor of God. And I'll remind you of a verse that I want to read again from Ephesians chapter 6. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says, "Put on the Lord Jesus Christ." Paul, writing to the Ephesians, beginning with verse 10 of chapter 6, said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Again, we're seeing here why we put it on. The devil has a plan to take you out, to do you in, to mess you up. The armor of God helps protect us against the methods, the strategies, the plans, the evil ingenuity of the enemy. Continuing, verse 12. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God." Again, he mentions it. Take up the whole armor of God. Why? "That you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand," verse 14, "stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth." We talked about that last time, the belt of truth. It holds it all together. You know, Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He's the life. He's the glue that holds the galaxies together. By Him all things were created. By Him all things consist or held together. The moon, sun, stars, they man their stations obediently, because of the word of the Lord, it has been spoken. The created order is functioning. It's the human beings that give the Lord the most trouble. And so we have to be transformed. We have to be changed. And so we need the armor. We need the truth of God. And he says, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. We talked about this last time, and that's so important. It covers our heart. And the righteousness, often those Roman soldiers would polish up their breastplates. And they had a protective plate here in front and here behind. And it would get polished, and they would try to position themselves with the sun hitting that reflective shield and blinding the enemy. And there's a sense in which, you know, lost people are blinded by the enemy. But there's another sense in which we, as we manifest the righteousness of Jesus Christ, we shine light on in the darkness and expose the evil one. So that's part of that warfare as well. But tonight, we're going to look at another part of the armor of God. It's so very important. It's important for us personally. It's important for us corporately. This armor helps keep marriages together. This armor helps keep harmony in the home. This armor helps maintain a good atmosphere in the workplace. As a matter of fact, this piece of armor is irreplaceable. You're not going to be happy without it. And most people that have spent a lot of time with you may not be happy if you don't have it. And I'm talking about where Paul says that we are to have, he says in verse 15, "and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." He goes on there talking about the shields of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, and so forth. But tonight, we're going to talk about wearing our sandals of peace, wearing the shoes of peace. What does it mean to have shoes ready for the gospel? What is this about? So we're going to dive into this. I don't think we had too many barefooted people show up tonight. Most of us have shoes on. It's it's part and parcel of culture. I remember when I went to South Korea for the first time, I arrived in Seoul, Korea, huge city, and I traveled. They carried me by car to Daejeon. That's about 1.5 million people there, real small compared to Seoul. And I ministered in a church. But when I arrived there, one thing that I had not been told is that you have to take your shoes off when you're ministering. Well, I had been really agonizing with plantar fasciitis in both feet at that time. This has been about, I think 7 years ago now when I took my first trip to South Korea. And so that meant 3 hours standing on concrete in the morning and then going to lunch and coming back and spending 3 more hours in the evening on the concrete on my bare feet. And I made it pretty good on day one and day two, before day two was over and the rest of the week. There was times when I would be teaching and I would have tears running down my face. And I know a lot of them thought that, you know, the Lord was moving upon me, but my feet were literally killing me. It was agonizing just because I was having difficulty with that anyway. And so they took me from there to Seoul, where I rinse and repeat 3 hours in the morning, 3 hours in the evening. And when I got there, also you had to take your shoes off. But they all had, they had a rack of sandals. Everybody had sandals. And they had extras. I was so excited. And so I started trying them on, and there wasn't anything in the whole rack that would come close to fitting me because their feet are, they're just smaller. And so, again, I'm agonizing. But the second night I got there, and they were all beaming and smiling, and they presented me with my own, just for me to use when I was there, and they were there the other couple of times I've been since then. They're still there. But I think they went to a boat factory. They were like size 14 sandals. But I was happy to flop around in them, let me tell you, to have a little cushion on my feet. Shoes are important. They serve different purposes. And I'm going to get into that tonight. We're going to apply that to our lives spiritually. But first, let's use the imagery that Paul is employing. Because I believe Paul, he's in prison when he's writing to the Ephesians, and more than likely he was within viewing distance of Roman soldiers, and some guarding close by, and he could see their paraphernalia, their weaponry, their armor that they were wearing, and he kind of applies that in our battle, and he's very clear in telling us, I'm not talking about men fighting men or women fighting women or men fighting women or women fighting men. I'm not talking about flesh and blood. He's using this armor metaphorically to instruct us how we are to be equipped to wage spiritual warfare. He lists that, the spiritual host of wickedness, principalities and powers and so forth. These are demonic structures. As I shared last time, the enemy is a thief. He is an imitator. He took the pattern he saw established in heaven because that's where he started out. He had access to it all, but he's a thief, and so he stole that, perverted, polluted it, and is using it in his demonic structure somewhat. So I believe that. I believe there are demons that are assigned over territories. There are familiar spirits that track family lines that work against families, and you can go on from there. But it's spiritual warfare. Now, if you don't believe that there's warfare in the realm of the spirit, that there's entities called demons in the realm of the spirit, you're probably not going to get much out of this. But let me tell you, you need to listen because it's a reality. If it's not true, then Jesus deceived us all because he battled them all the time, cast them out of people, charged the church to do that, and has never rescinded that order or that charge. We are still under those orders to cast out demons. Well, that just sounds so violent. Yeah? Jesus talked about the kingdom, the violent take it by force. Again, we're not talking about flesh and blood. We're talking about in the realm of the spirit. It is warfare. What's at stake? The souls of men and women, the eternal destination of men and women, boys and girls around the world is at stake. So the enemy is a liar, he's a thief, he's a deceiver, and part of his deception involves masking himself and using doctrine and philosophy and other religions to do away with the notion that he exists at all. And therefore, he can do what he does without ever being spotted. But the truth is, the Bible is very clear, and it tells us here that we need to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, these Roman soldiers would have actually kind of two components to protect the ankle area and the foot, and they would have it on each. But the shoes were more like sandals, and they would be strapped on very tightly with strips of leather. And then they would have little metal plates up the shins, and that would be laced up, and that was to protect their feet. And a lot of times they had to trudge through rough territory, thorns, thistles, briars, underbrush, and so that would protect the legs. Mickey and I, when we first got married, because I was hunting her for months, she didn't realize that I loved to hunt deer. Or loved to hunt birds. I did a little quail hunting back then. So we'd been married less than 2 weeks, get back from the honeymoon, and I start wanting to go hunting. And so I want to go. And I forgot to say, well, I'm going bird hunting. I borrowed my cousin's bird dog. I mean, that's a beautiful sight to see a bird dog point. It just, and there we go. We go out into the field, and I, in my excitement and preparation, I forgot to tell her that she needed to wear socks and some boots, you know. I thought she might, you know, I don't know if I thought she should know that or what. But bless her heart, she came home all cut up, her ankles and feet. She never asked to go hunting with me again. It's just so sad. But no, I wasn't that mean. I was just ignorant, okay? But those Roman soldiers needed that protection, just like you wore shoes tonight for, you know, you're walking on gravel and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. On the bottom of the Roman sandals would have been what we would call hobnails, spikes. Because, first of all, the shoes, just like ours, provided them with protection. Protection. Secondly, their shoes, their sandals, just like ours will, provided traction. Now, particularly soldier. And notice they had to have their feet shod. We don't use that terminology now unless we're putting shoes on a mule or a horse. You know, you have your horse shod. But we wear shoes. We put them on. The imagery here is they would leave them strapped on much of the time. They had to be ready to roll. Ready to roll. And those, they would be protected. They would have thick leather soles with like little hobnails that had been driven through and then sewn over with pieces of leather. And that would give them traction. Cleats. Some of them were spiked, more like spikes from what I've read. And so that gave them traction. Notice the words that Paul employed over and over. Stand. Stand. I know recently I was in a restaurant and one pair of my shoes has like solid rubber, real rubber soles. And when I went to that restaurant, just trying to get to the table, I mean, it was like you could just moonwalk so easy. Just slipping and sliding, you know, you're trying to, it's like being on ice. And so these soldiers having to traverse all types of terrain, that really helped them. They're in sandy soil, on rocky soil. It would help them gain traction, particularly when they were engaged in warfare to move forward. We'll talk a little bit more about that when we get to the shield of faith next time. But so these shoes were for protection and they were for traction. When I was 5 years of age, I was visiting with my dad and mom down at my mom's family. They lived about 20 minutes away. And outside of my grandmother's house, there was an old black walnut tree, but it was had a limb low enough that you could get up on it and climb as a little guy. And there was a big pile of lumber under that tree, and it had nails sticking up. Some of those boards had bunches of nails where they'd tried to, in the past, they'd been nailed to something. They were just sticking through. They'd be 6 or 8 nails. And I was up in that tree, and I jumped out of it on that pile of lumber. And I remember this like it was 5 minutes ago. I jumped out, and one of my feet hit the end of one of those boards, and 5 nails went up in my little old foot. And it was very painful. I started crying. And my mom was down the road at the neighbor's, and I remember running down the road, my feet bleeding, my feet hurting, and they scooped me up, and she carries me to the doctor, and he has to clean it out and put gauze on it and give me a tetanus shot. It was just it was a bad day on the farm. But if I had been wearing shoes, because I wasn't, it would have helped some. It would have helped some. If you've ever stepped on a nail, you know what I'm talking about. Or even worse to me, a stone bruise. How many of you ever have had a stone bruise on your heel? You're talking about painful, extremely painful. So these shoes provided protection. And I remember growing up, I haven't heard anybody say this in a long time, put your shoes on, I don't want you getting ringworms. Because we're around the barnyard all the time where the animals and what animals do is everywhere. And it wasn't uncommon to see kids with ringworms. You could see those circles in their skin. I remember seeing it on other kids and so forth. So, and heat and cold, you're protected from that and so forth. So protection. In our Christian walk, There's all kinds of things the enemy will try to put in our way to trip us up. Paul, on one occasion, talked about trying to get somewhere, but Satan kept breaking up the road in front of him. So we need our sandals on. And as I mentioned, for traction as well, when I was in junior high school, played junior high football, but I was a manager for the varsity team. That way you get to be on the sideline in the games on Friday night. And one of the things back then, I don't know if they even do this now, but we had a wrench and you could change the cleats on the shoes. And one Friday night it had been raining some, and I remember all the players were wearing me out. They would take their shoe off, say, "I need longer cleats." We'd be taking those cleats off and putting longer ones. Why? Because they needed better traction. And so we need to inspect ourselves and examine ourselves to make sure that we're not slipping in some area. We need to make sure that we're standing. And so this is a beautiful picture that Paul used. He says, "Stand therefore, having your feet shod." Now, one of the primary things here is that these shoes literally were used as weapons. Because the picture here is of taking ground, coming against the enemy, and with those spikes, he says, stand, having done all, stand therefore. Because if you ever get knocked down in the type of warfare they wage, you were pretty much a goner. You were at their mercy. And those Roman soldiers, they were feared around the world, wherever they showed up. You can read stories of where they would invade a land, they would pull their boats up on the seashore, drag them out, pile them up, and set them on fire. You know what message that sent to the enemy? We're not going back. We're going to die here if we have to, but we're not going back. And that was that idea of not yielding, not giving ground, but standing and advancing, which should be our heart for the kingdom of God. But those Roman soldiers with those sandals, when they knocked an opponent down, they could take those sandals and just stamp that into the chest or the head or the abdomen of their enemy and do severe damage. Paul says in Romans 16, verse 20, as a matter of fact, he ends the beautiful theological treatise of the book of Romans, with this verse, that and the peace of God be with you, and you shall crush Satan under your feet shortly. Literally, crush him under your feet shortly, and the grace of God be with you always. Crushing Satan under your feet with peace. Peace. Now think of that. Just get that. If you don't hear anything else this preacher says tonight, get this. If you can stay in a place of peace, and I'll talk about that a little bit more in a moment, but you've got peace with God as a believer, but to live in the peace of God as a believer. If you can stay in that place, you are going to win more victories than you ever would otherwise. Just to be able to live from a place of peace. When we start losing our peace, we become an unsavory lot. We become irritable. We become cranky. We become grumpy. We become critical. We become complainers. We become bitter. We become angry. If we don't get it together, we can become vile and just nasty. But with the peace of God ruling in our heart, as Paul wrote to the Colossians, we overcome. You lose your peace, you're not going to be a happy soul. Because it's like a carpenter's level. Your bubble's off. You're out of balance. You know, you're on tilt. You're going to crash and burn. Living in the place of peace. That is so powerful. So in this sense, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's the peace with God. One of the best tracts that I've ever used in witnessing, it was written by Billy Graham, and it's simply called Steps to Peace with God. And he uses that because a lost person can find things that temporarily satisfy them. Same for the saved. Find things that give certain temporal pleasure. And try to chase that. As long as I'm doing that, I'm happy. I remember when God was dealing with me to preach. And I didn't have my jets on for Jesus in those days. I was going to church because that was the thing to do. But God started dealing with me. We had a pastor that came in. I started hearing the word, and it just started working on me, and I became miserable. And it got to the point where, all right, I'm tired of this. I'm sick at my stomach all the time. I'm not happy unless I'm in a boat or sitting in a tree somewhere. And, Lord, have your way. And the night I did that, there was such a peace fill my heart. Now, that was my walk, because I was away from what God had created me to do. I was running from what God had created me to do. In other words, I had not locked into my purpose. And what God's created you to do may be something different, but it's always the same for the believer. Ultimately, whatever we're created to do, it is to glorify Him. You know, that's where we get our purpose. But if you don't have that peace, you can keep stuffing stuff in there, but none of it's going to work. None of it's going to satiate that hole in your soul until it's filled with the peace of God. Now, when that happens, there are certain things that we do to live with the peace, to live, we got peace with God, but to live in that peace of God on a day-in, day-out basis. And that's part of our spiritual warfare. Here the analogy is, you know, we got to have the gospel ready. In other words, everybody we need as believers who have peace with God, we have what that person's looking for, even though they don't know that's what they're looking for. And they may hear it the first time and it doesn't make sense. They may reject it. They may resist. But faithful prayer and loving and sharing the gospel of Christ, that's the only way they'll ever have peace with God that will enable them to live with the peace of God. The only way. That's the only answer. It's the only answer. People can be temporarily happy, but it's temporal. The peace I'm talking about, I've seen people die with it and just sweetly pass into the life to come. Leave this world, step into the world to come with peace. Not only that, I've seen people that joyfully embraced it, ready to roll. I remember the deacon of the first church I pastored that was stricken with cancer, and within like 3 or 4 weeks he died, but he's laying in his hospital bed lifting his hands up, "Come and get me, Lord Jesus," and it was a few hours he was gone. But he knew where he was going. He knew in whom he had believed and was persuaded he was able to keep that which he had committed to him against that day. Hope you know him that way. There's a high likelihood you do, being here on a Wednesday night. I hope you do. But others don't. And we have to be good soldiers and be ready to share the gospel with people so they can be reconciled and have peace with God. We use a term sometimes, well, yeah, they kick you when they're a person that kicks you when you're down. Now, you don't want to be that kind of person when it comes to people. But you want to be that kind of person when it comes to the realm of the Spirit. Because that's what a Roman soldier did. Once he got the enemy down, he's leaving his tracks on him. Walk on him. He's crushing him under his feet. And God says that with our peace, we can walk into circumstances that might overwhelm others, and we can crush it. We can overcome. We can live and walk in victory because of the power of God's peace. And peace is produced by the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Peace. There is literally wave after wave after wave of anxiety that's been released across our nation in these last few years. It's leaving its mark on most, particularly the emerging generation, the uncertainty. We went through this last few years. It's been an unprecedented time in our generation and in our nation's history of the whole shutdown. Regardless of what you may think about that, don't lose your compassion for what it's done to people. A lot of people have been grievously hurt. They've been isolated. They've been separated. Their work world has changed. Their financial picture has changed. They've lost loved ones in death. It's just created a whole lot of havoc, wreaked a whole lot of havoc. And there's just so much anxiety that people have. And a lot of times, I believe that we fail to realize that underneath that anxiety is a person who's lost their peace. Now think about it. Philippians 4:6-7 says, "Be anxious for nothing." In other words, don't worry about anything. Don't be anxious about anything. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving," say with thanksgiving. Okay, Mickey, remind me. Don't let me not come back to that, okay? "With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses, goes beyond all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind." It's the antidote biblically for anxiety. Prayer, supplication. In other words, talk to God about what you're struggling with. Articulate your hurt to Him. But don't just inform Him about it and walk away. lay claim, I preached on this recently, lay claim to the grace and mercy that He's promised when you come into His presence in His throne room. Lay claim to this promise in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, and the peace of God, will guard your heart and mind. And that word guard there is a military term. It was used of a soldier or a garrison of soldiers who were charged to guard a gate or to guard a building or to guard a group of people. And that's, in other words, peace is like a soldier. When you have God's peace, like a soldier, it's guarding your heart and mind, alerting you when you're allowing an intruder in or the enemy's trying to slip some thoughts in that are going to debilitate you. In what way? Well, your heart, your emotional life, your emotional world gets you all in a tiz or take you down in depression. Your mind to get you processing things wrongly, get you into doubt, into fear, into unbelief. This verse tells us this, and the armor of God informs us as well. We have that power to crush the enemy when he's coming that way by living in a place of peace. That peace itself is a discernment that God gives you to recognize when the bubble's getting tilted. When Paul in Colossians, when he says, let the peace of God rule in your heart, literally saying, let peace be the referee inside of you to let you know when something's out of bounds. It's like a referee in a basketball game blows a whistle and calls attention. Out of bounds, or that's foul, you can't do that. And you're going to be penalized for doing that. The peace of God, which is produced by the Holy Spirit, it's all working together inside of you. It can alert us that something's not right here, you know. When I heard that, it just made me discouraged. Heard what? Renounce that. Don't receive that. Lord, those soldiers of peace, if you can just visualize it that way, they're letting you know, don't let this in. Don't let this in. Don't bypass those soldiers. Don't discharge them from their duties. Listen and stand. 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 Now, what does that, how does this operate in real life? Well, let's just say something's happened. You've lost your job or you got a bill for $987 and you don't have it. And it was an unexpected thing or something like that. And all of a sudden it's like, these thoughts start coming. Well, I thought God was going to take care of me. Where are you, God? What about my prayers? Lord, I've been giving, I've been serving, and all these thoughts start coming that are filled with doubt. That's where, as we started this very series, Jesus' temptation, what did Jesus do? He took the Scripture. The Scripture helps us stay in a place of peace. The Scripture rightly informs us. It informs us of what is right. So, when those things are happening and it don't make sense, Lord, this doesn't make sense, but I thank you for your peace that even when I can't understand things, I thank you that you're still ruling and reigning. What is it you say often, Pastor Doc? Jesus is still on that. There's a phrase or two that you put together there. Jesus is still Lord. He's still on the throne. Yeah, the throne is occupied. Yeah, those kind of things. Like Jesus hadn't gone anywhere. He said he wasn't going anywhere. He's not going to leave you. God said he's going to work all things together for good. So I'm looking at these circumstances. Lord, I thank you. Whatever's going on, I don't understand it, but I know you do, and I thank you that you're going to work it together for good. It may not be good, but you're going to work it together. You're at work. I love you. I'm committed to your purpose. I thank you, Lord, that even though I feel overwhelmed, that's just a feeling, but the fact is I am an overcomer in Jesus Christ. And you start using the Word to ward off the lies and deceptions of the enemy. Remember who's the enemy here in Ephesians 6? It's not that person that said that thing that discouraged you. It's how the enemy wants to use that thing that was said to take you down. So that's the reason it's so important to have the Word in you. and learn to be led by the Holy Spirit. Because peace, as you've heard me teach on this before, many of you have, but peace, staying in a place of peace, allows you to rightly discern, make good decisions, and to face what's coming at you. And even as believers, you're going to have stuff coming down the pike at you, trying to take you out, trying to discourage you, trying to discredit you, trying to get you into fear, doubt, and unbelief. So, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Sometimes the temptation may be so strong. I just don't think I can handle this. Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. And I thank you that nothing's coming to me but such as coming to man. And you are faithful, O God. You'll provide me a way of escape that I can bear. You know God's going to be faithful, so you're going to have to navigate. It's just important that we learn to live this way. You're feeling forgotten, abandoned, forsaken. And sometimes, you know, the devil comes by and invites you to a pity party, and we'll follow him off to it, you know. We have to realize, no, Jesus said he would never leave me nor forsake me, regardless of how I feel. Lord, I thank you that you are here. The Christian life's not based on feeling. It's based on faith. And it's based on your integrity, and you're not a man that you should lie. So I thank you that you're with me right now, Lord. I thank you that you're here. I thank you that you're a very present help in time of trouble. You're brokenhearted and grieving. Lord, I thank you that you are with me because you are near those whose hearts are broken. Not only are you near them, you are anointed to restore the brokenhearted. Now you're preaching yourself into a place of peace and establishing yourself. You're taking your stand, and at the right time, you'll start advancing. And this is the way we live this life, through the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. So peace is a big part of the arsenal that we've been given. I got a defensive element. Now, I'm not going there. Now, I know what that is. I'm standing my ground. It's got an offensive element. Okay, I'm going to crush you under my feet here. And we discern. We discern our way day by day by the Spirit and by the Word of God. Recently, Mickey and I, in the last week or two of just getting everything together, it can, for a move like we've had to do here, it can become overwhelming. And if you've ever, I'm a builder by trade, and anybody that's ever built the house, you've contracted someone to build your house. If you're not careful, you can get so focused on trying to fix all the little things that aren't just right, it can steal all the joy of the many, many things that are just fine. And you can get into a place where if you're not careful, you can become critical. And we've been trying to cheerlead for one another. And recently we were in one of those situations. And I forget exactly what was being said, but Mickey just turned it around. And I'm trying to remember what it was specifically. It might have been like, you know, we got to get the windows that are scratched or something. But if something, it would apply like, look how many windows we got that aren't scratched. Isn't it great that we've even got a new church now that's got windows in it? I mean, I've been to a lot of nations but she just started that, and I followed, and we spent 2 or 3 minutes. And the next thing I know, we were laughing, we were chuckling, and it was just like what was on us had to leave. Just had to leave. In everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. Don't leave that out, that key of thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. A lot of times that's all it takes to back the enemy off, settle the flesh down enough you can kick it back in the grave, and walk in the high places and enjoy this life that God has given us. Now, I don't know what you may be tempted to grumble about or the burr that might be under your saddle tonight, but I want to encourage you to find the place of peace. I don't like my new job, and I just don't. you got a job? Isn't that awesome? I mean, you're going to look at it half full, half empty, right? You're going to be a positive, you're going to be a negative. You're going to be somebody that lives by faith or somebody that lives by your feelings. You're going to live up or you're going to live down. Or you're going to bounce up and down and all around. You know, all kinds of folks. But the truth of the matter is, when you look at this analogy of the soldier and the armor of God, here's your options. You're going to stand. You're going to give up ground. Or you're going to take ground. It's going to be one of those three. And there is a time you just got to stand because it's coming. You may not be able to do a whole lot, but you can stand. And you can keep your armor on. And you can weather it. And then, because you did, you can start taking ground. Or you can start retreating. And like, lose your peace. Well, you've just taken your shoes off. You're listening to that condemnation. I'll never amount to anything. Who am I to think God could use me? I guess I just got excited and I thought all that was going to work. Now you're ripping off your blessed plate of righteousness. And now, like, well, I just wonder, even if that Jesus stuff, that church, now you're loosening your belt and you're about to be in real big trouble. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. I got a notion that when Paul wrote it in that way, he was thinking about some of those days, not just the evil day that's coming down the pike, the Bible talks about, but he was also thinking about some of those days when the devil amped it up and came at him full force. Jesus had some of those in his temptation. He's given us some things to remember, some truth to live by, some armor to wear to help us keep the smile on our face, the joy in our heart, in the place of peace, knowing who we are, knowing what we were created to do, and we haven't got but half our armor on. So there's some more coming, and we'll get into that next week. Now, what I'd like for you to do is to stand with me for a moment. And I want to ask you, are you in a time right now where you're having to, you can't advance, but you're just standing, you're holding on? Are you standing? Are you anchored? Have you lost your peace? Tonight, this is the good news. That can come back in a snap. How? Lord, I blew it. I lost my temper. I lost my peace. I've let worry come in and I've lost my peace. Whatever it was, do the name it and claim it. This is a sin. This is a problem. I did it. And I ask you to forgive me and cleanse me. Holy Spirit, I yield to you in this area. I receive your strength. And get that place of calm, that place of peace of just knowing that even if your circumstances don't change one bit, in the middle of it, you've changed. You're going to be able to weather that storm. The Prince of Peace who slept in the boat in the middle of the storm is now ruling and reigning inside of you in the middle of your storm. And when that starts happening, then there'll come a time when you'll be able to just stand up. It'll be time to stand up and just say what he wants you to say and watch the circumstances change. This is how we fight our battles. This is how we live our lives. So are you standing? Maybe you're here tonight. You know, no, I've given up ground. I've backslid. I've given up 40 acres this past week. You know, maybe you've had a season like that. He's the God of restoration. He'll meet you right where you are in these moments right now. Just meet with him in his throne room. Close your eyes. You and Jesus. He's your advocate. You're in the Father's presence. Just be honest with God. Tell him what you need and receive that grace and that mercy and let his peace be restored to you, the peace of God. And I'm going to believe, and let's all believe together, that there's numbers of people that's going to walk out of here tonight, and you're going to start claiming ground. You're going to start taking ground because of what God's doing in your heart right now. You're going to start taking back some territory. I feel like there may be particularly a couple of people that you've kind of, maybe you know what the term mully grubs means, kind of been in the doldrums with it. And it has to do with, it's like what your family line, it's like, yeah, we get to this point, then it collapses. Just always, you know, granddad, dad, me, whatever, it just collapses. It just, and you almost expect that. No. No, not anymore. Not anymore. You stand your ground and you take the ground that your family hasn't taken heretofore. You retake the ground that's been stolen, that God ordained for you and your children's children to enjoy. You reclaim that. You be the one who's the restorer, the one who's forerunning. And you're not going to do it without the peace of God ruling and reigning in your life. So renounce every disturbance of peace, everything, every, whatever the buttons are, the devil always pushes to get you in the ditch. Just ask God to do away with buttons and just give you a zipper and put a lock on it. That you will live beyond that bouncing around in the emotions or in the mental state or even spiritually. Just take a step forward and two back. Stand and advance. That's the word tonight. I decree, I prophesy, I declare over your lives, over your marriages, over your homes, over your children, over your finances, over your health, over your mental health, over your emotional health. I decree and declare, stand and advance, that the grace of God and the anointing of the Holy Spirit is with you to do that. Reestablish that place of peace with your Father tonight. Stand and advance. Stand and advance. I'm going to ask some altar workers to be here. If you would come on up, some of our staff and leaders, just be here to pray with those that might need prayer tonight. I encourage you, if the Holy Spirit's dealing with you, you come, you receive ministry, you receive prayer. Get your breakthrough. Stand your ground and get ready to advance. God will put you right back where you need to be. Internally, He can just reposition you there. Give you what you need. Claim that tonight. If that's you, claim it. In Jesus' name. If you need prayer, I encourage you to step out from where you are right now. Just come up, and these are here to pray with you. Come on. Are there others? Someone here on the backside, the left part of your neck, is like somebody's got two fingers and just squeezing real hard. That's how it feels. Right there on the back of the neck on the left side. I encourage you to come. I believe the Lord's going to touch you with that tonight as well. I love you. pray for those who have some relationships in your life that are tenuous and strained right now. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or anything, but I just encourage you to receive as we pray right now. Father God, you just laid on my heart that there's some people here, and very common thing, obviously, but I believe we're to pray specifically now for those that have some relationships that are in an uproar, that are strained right now, and it's causing the peace to be disturbed. And Lord, I pray that your love would just come into the middle of that. And Lord, that there would be a humility of heart where wrongs have occurred, to humble oneself and to repent and to seek to make things right. I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that the pride and stubbornness that would build a wall would be vanquished, and the love and the peace that would build a union would be present. And so, Lord, I pray for healing. I pray for restoration. I pray for reconciliation to occur in these relationships tonight. I pray for words of wisdom to be given those that are here tonight in those situations, to know what to say, to know how to approach, to know how to handle, to bring about change. And I'm just believing your Holy Spirit will be helper. We declare that, Holy Spirit, you are our helper, particularly in situations like I've just described. Is there someone here that you've swallowed something that you were not supposed to swallow? I don't know if this might be a child or an adult. Does that mean anything to anyone in the room tonight? I'm just kind of seeing this, and okay. Is that someone we need to pray for? Can you give us, I don't want to embarrass anyone, but is there some more specific situation? They have swallowed something they were not. Okay, just if you'll just stand and we just want to pray. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we just pray for whatever this is. I know, Lord, it's a strange thing, but you showed it to me, so you're up to something. And we just ask the power of your Holy Spirit would move right now, Lord, that there would be healing, that there would be no damage or harm done by what has been swallowed. And I ask, Lord, for healing. I ask for restoration of peace. I pray that all fear and anxiety that might be associated around this circumstance, I pray it be restored, Lord. And I thank you that the plans you have are good and not evil, to give a future filled with hope, that you are Jehovah Rapha. You are the God who heals. And I just declare over this situation, hey, taste and see the Lord. He is good. Drink your fill of living waters. They won't harm you. Be filled again and again with the Holy Spirit, singing in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So, Lord, we just partner with what you're doing in this situation right now. And I think you're loving on somebody really good right now. And we just rejoice and we embrace that and say, in Jesus' name, be blessed. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just have your way. Anyone else that needs prayer, you feel free to come right now if the Lord's dealing with you. Sure do appreciate you coming out tonight on Wednesday. Tomorrow morning, this is something that I used to do a number of years ago, and I believe there's some restoration in this. But we'll be beginning a community Bible study in the morning at 10 a.m. in the dining hall. And this is real informal. We're going to be doing a study of the supernatural in the book of Acts. Yep. We're going to highlight and spotlight those times in the book of Acts where something supernatural is happening. And it's amazing. There's all kinds of visions and prophecies and trances and demons stirred up and healings. And it's just amazing. The revelatory things that are happening, the miraculous things that happen in the book of Acts. So we want to have a good theological foundation to stand on, and we're going to do a real solid historical journey through the first 30 years or so of the early church. Luke wrote the book of Acts. He wrote the gospel, and put together, they cover about a 33-year period. And it's just amazing. I think this will be a good study, and we're going to follow that with just a time of ministry. So if you know someone that needs a healing or someone going through a tough time, we're going to conclude our study on Thursdays just asking Holy Spirit to invade the room and see what He wants to point out, what He might be saying, who He wants to bless. So just pray for an increase of that revelatory anointing and healing anointing to continue to grow in the life of this church. We decree and declare that, Lord, we're asking for a cancer-free zone here in Florence, Alabama. You realize that, God, if He just created the 3-foot circle of His glory, you walk through it and everything's fine. I mean, you know, can you imagine He starts manifesting His glory in greater dimensions? Aren't you hungry for that? Let's believe for that. Let's believe for that. I mean, if in Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here tonight. This altar remains open.